someone DM'd me and told me, you're going through the Jennifer Lawrence effect. And I was like, I don't know what that means. And I don't think I want
what
any.
What a rude thing to
no,
send
I was
you.
Just like, well, thanks. Like, I don't know what to do
you're
with
like,
that.
You're like, oh my God, thank you.
No, I'm like, so you think?
You think I'm going to be a star? Hey y'all, it's Drew and welcome back to the comment section show. To help me really get into my comment section, I've brought on Emily Ribe as my guest today, and they're gonna help me tackle the haters and get into some of their own fan comments. Emily, welcome to the show.
Hello everybody, I'm so excited to be here. I feel weird now being the interviewee.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because now it's real, like you're actually speaking to me. It's not just a voice in my head.
Well, that's perfect. Yeah. See, now you're actually being interviewed.
I am,
now,
yeah.
Now I'm Vogue and you're the influencer.
Yes.
Doing it. For today's topic with the wonderful Emily Ribe, we're talking about women in Hollywood and specifically the treatment of women in Hollywood compared to how men are treated in Hollywood.
Oh yeah.
So when I bring that up to you, like what's your like first initial thought?
I think of just pay gaps, pay disparities, all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, things of women who have been through terrible moments with directors. Like I think with like the Me Too movement with Harvey Weinstein, who knows how many women, not just the women we see on camera, but behind the scenes in rooms had terrible experiences with. So
no, literally.
Yeah. I think more of the terrible stuff than the glitz and glam.
And also when you think about that too, it's kind of crazy how it's more so focused on like, oh, like I feel so sad that that happened, and not that it was happening and it was like a well-known thing that was underground for like 10-20 years.
Yeah, it's something that totally could have been stopped or at least taken care of, but instead these women were continuously taken advantage of.
And women were passing along the advice to each other. Like they were like, hey, just so you know, don't work with him.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, we be looking out for each other, and who's looking out for us?
Yeah, no. It's like a dog-eat-dog world in Hollywood, definitely. And I think for women especially, you have to really watch your back. Specifically with male people in the space, it's really difficult. It really is.
And it sucks, too, that you have to feel that way. Especially when you're trying to, it's an art. So, like, you're trying to be creative, or express yourself.
Any industry where you have to express yourself, whether it be clothes, whether it be painting, drawing, graphic design, there's so many obstacles you have to face as a woman. Mm-hmm. While men not only have it a bit easier, but they don't have to face struggle of worrying about what they're wearing or if they're showing too much, if they're revealing, if they're this or if they're that, their attitude. Like, it's really hard.
Yeah, I always think, too, when I think about, like, how women in Hollywood are treated versus how men are.
Oh, yeah.
I always think about, like, body shaming and like how they like made a whole industry off shaming women, like what they look like in a bikini or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. Dating back to like old Hollywood, like Judy Garland being on diet pills for having like a thicker waist, like keeping her under a certain weight, keeping women under a certain weight. They weren't allowed into certain parties if they didn't look a certain way. So I think like a lot of studios are at fault for that.
Yeah, and also too, like how women are like, oh, like she looks like she gained weight. Oh, what if she's pregnant? That kind of thing. But with men, it's like, oh, dad bod.
Oh yeah, so it's hot. So different. Yeah,
look at his dad bod. It's so good. Look, I love me a dad bod.
And that
bod
used to be a trend. I remember online it was so big for men to have the dad bod, but let a woman let herself live a little, and it's talked about for months, and
she
it's
not like
positive.
eats a snack on the beach and like goes in the ocean, and then they're someone's hiding a pregnancy.
And
that's funny because they don't even know what that looks like.
Or if women choose to not drink in a social setting, they're like, oh, she's pregnant. No, they can't drink. Maybe
just like anything. It's just feel like you're constantly being watched.
Oh yeah. Under a certain eye, always. Yeah. It's really difficult, I think, for women to feel comfortable in those spaces, specifically like going to certain parties, and then you're more worried about how you're looking and how your face looks because you don't want to have an RBF and say like, oh my God, what are they going to say about me?
And on the carpet too, because you and I have walked carpets.
We've walked a couple carpets.
That's pretty daunting.
It's hard.
Yeah,
it's
sometimes. Hard. Yeah, when men have the most to say about women, what they look like on the carpet.
Oh yeah,
I always think to myself, I say, you do it. You go on that carpet. You paint that face down, like tie your face back. Like the things that they do to you when you go on a carpet. Mm-hmm.
It's very overwhelming and invasive, and you almost feel like, damn, like, am I not doing enough? Because clearly, like, it's not working. Or, like, you have to practice your posing. Like, men just get away with standing there like this.
I know. You know what's funny is that I just went to a premiere the other day, and I was walking next to Jason Momoa, which, by the way, listen to me. That's like me going on a talent show right after Beyonce. Why did you put me next to him?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's like, who's this big idiot? Move, lady. Who's this bitch? Move. I'm trying to see Aquaman.
Oh, yeah.
Which is cool. But that man, literally, I was like stressing all day what I was going to wear, like how it's going to look, like how it's going to pose. He looked like he just came from Sprouts. He was wearing jeans and a peasant top. I said, I expect nothing less. He looks great, but I wish I could dress like that.
Oh, yeah. The standard is so different. It's on the floor. And then you have these women who have to come in gowns or like a mini dress.
No, literally.
It's so different. I remember the first time I went on carpet for Eternals. I knew I wasn't going to get photographed, but I stood in front of my mirror and I was like, like smiling, practicing what I was gonna do if cameras were looking at me. Like, no,
I did that too.
Yeah,
I did. You practice your hands, oh, like everything.
Very like you have to.
Yeah,
be
and I was carrying a bag just because I forgot to give it to someone, and someone was like, "Next time, don't carry a purse. Oh, it ruins yeah. the fit." I said, "Oh, is this? How many carpets have you walked?" That's what I thought, babe. And I said, guess what? I bought that bag, so I'm carrying it.
With your hard-earned money.
That's why and I think about like Tiffany Haddish when she's like, I'm going to wear this dress until the wheels fall off because she spent so much money on it. She's like, I bought this. I'm going to keep wearing it.
Oh, yeah, as she should.
That's how I felt about that purse.
Oh, also wearing outfits and not wearing the same thing over and over again.
I can't tell you how many times I've thought about
that. It's crazy because I remember Joaquin Phoenix had a run where he wore the same Stella McCartney suit to every award show when he was nominated for Joker. And no one batted an eye. People talked about how sustainable it was. But for a woman to do that, we can see it as sustainable.
They're like, you're so boring.
Oh, yeah. Or people are going to be like, didn't you already wear that? Yes, yeah. I did. For a reason,
that's
I bought
crazy.
It.
You know what's funny? If I saw a dude wear the same suit, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, because they wear it any... Well, it's a black suit. It's boring.
That's what I said. How you could have told me that was from Ross, or you could have told me that was from...
A rental shop, actually.
No, literally, I'm like, that could have been from Kohl's. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
No, yeah. I
but
believe you
but
on
with
that.
Women, it's just so much more like nitpicky, I feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah, definitely.
Is in everything from what you wear to what you look like to how you act to what you act in.
The slightest change in your face, oh, it's talked about for months. It's so, so hard.
Yeah, I literally posted pictures of me in full glam. Mm-hmm. Let me just set the scene for you. I sat in hair and makeup for 2.5 hours. I had a wig on my head. Yes. I was beat down. Like my face looked so good. Mm-hmm. My makeup artist took pictures of me. I posted them. Did I look incredible? Yes.
Yeah.
Let's all agree that I looked phenomenal. Okay.
Collectively.
It is what it is. Mm-hmm. But when I posted them, tell me why people are making TikToks saying I got work done to my face.
Oh no, that's just a little contour and powder. You guys don't know shade and light. Don't know shading and lighting, do you?
And I literally was like, you see me on the toilet. All the time. You think I'm gonna look like that?
Oh yeah.
On the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
You think I wake up with a full beat? I'm not Kylie Jenner.
Oh no, yeah.
She wakes up with a full beat.
Oh, absolutely.
Someone's beating her face in her sleep. Yep. She's like, she sleeps like this.
I'm like, I'm looking at you, Ariel. I know exactly.
No, she literally sleeps like this, like perfectly poised. You know, perfect body, perfect hair, everything. Wakes up full beat.
Oh yeah.
Her and Stormy's perfectly dressed.
Oh, and she's so
and
cute.
I think you think that's me?
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
I'm a big jester on the internet. You think that's me? That's of course that's not me. That's why I said it's just funny because like men are so quick to like. Judge. And I always think too, men don't know what makeup looks like.
Oh no, they don't. Or their definition of natural is nothing what it is in real life. Absolutely not.
And I was thinking too, if you saw me in real life, if like one of those dudes had seen me in real life that day, they would have thought I had no makeup on.
Absolutely.
They would have been like, wow,
I feel
so naturally beautiful. You ask them what's a natural beauty look like to you? They show you a picture of Kim Kardashian
with like a full bronze beat.
Yeah, with
like,
a full bronzed out beat. Like she looks fantastic. Yeah. But you know she's wearing 20 pounds of makeup. Hello.
Oh yeah.
That's why they're like, oh, it's work. You have work done to your face.
No, it's just shading and lighting. Like you, again, makeup as an art form is something of its own.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's interesting to see men then pick apart like how it looks or what they've done differently. It's just it's just nose powder.
Yeah,
I promise.
It's Facetune in real life.
Oh yeah,
is what it is.
It's magic.
And they're just, I think, jealous. That's what I think it is.
I agree with you.
So I can't wait to dive into this with you, Emily. But when you first think of women in Hollywood, I think of the glitz and the glamour. Mm. Like obviously, we all wanted to feel that growing up. So here on the comment section, what we like to do is we like to bring videos that I want to laugh at and I bring them here and we share all the giggles.
That's what we do.
We just laugh and giggle.
We
have a silly goofy time here on my show. That's okay. What we do.
So one of the most frustrating things that I hear being in the entertainment industry is male writers saying that they don't know how to write female characters.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm always just like, just write them the same way you write men. You know what I mean? But then give them like a nice pair of jiggly titties that they can play with whenever they want. And like a monthly period that makes them emotionally unstable and hormonal and unable to make rational decisions. And then make them hot, but like not too hot so that they're out of your league. And make them smart, but not in a way that's intimidating. And make them funny, but you know, funny in that they think you're really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And there you have it. Cast me in your next film.
Honestly, what are your initial thoughts after watching this?
She's so right, because I'm a big blockbuster watcher. I love going to the movies and seeing the latest like Marvel movie or Star Wars movie. It's so interesting to see them try to write a badass female hero.
Yeah.
Who, not only has like male attributes, she has to be funny, she has to be relatable, she has to be this, she has to be that. It's so difficult to watch her character try to succeed. Or men will just call you a Mary Sue, which is when you know how to do everything. That was a big problem, not for me, but for men, with Daisy Ridley in Star Wars is Rey. People just called her a Mary Sue. She knew how to do this, she knew how to do that, she already knew how to do that. That's how they wrote her, and that's what they gave her, but it's like a complete issue at that point for them.
Well, it's also like, this is like probably a poor example because you brought up really great films, but I consider this a cinematic masterpiece, Twilight.
Oh, absolutely. That's like cinema.
Bella and Twilight.
Yeah.
Everyone ripped Kristen Stewart a new one. They said she's a terrible actress. I said that bitch can act her ass
off.
Oh,
did you see Spencer?
Yes, I did. I watched it on Delta, on the Delta plane. I watched it. I watched the shit out of it. And she was phenomenal.
Absolutely.
And I thought to myself, she was playing the part. That's how they wrote her.
Yeah.
They wrote her as a stuttery weirdo. Oh, like, that's how they wrote her.
Also, these women don't control what they're given. So these screenwriters give, and I actually have a really good example of something in the industry that happens with screenwriting. It's like an inside screenwriting joke.
Ooh, yeah.
But to talk more about Kristen Stewart, I feel really bad for her because she was put in a spot where you can't change the writing. You're not going to go up to the screenwriter and say, I don't like this.
Especially the author of the books.
Like Stephanie Meyer, I'm sure didn't intend, but that's just how she was written. It's out of her control.
Yeah. And you know what I call that? Great acting.
Great acting.
Because you bought it. You bought her as a weirdo.
You know how hard it is? That's why sometimes some actresses, I love when actors hate each other because they're acting. They're proving it to you that they like each other. She proved to you that she was this weirdo. She stuttered. She gave it her all.
That's what I said. She was like so off-putting, weird.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, why would any vampire like this bitch? And then you think to yourself, that's how she was written.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same thing with Megan Fox in Transformers.
That poor girl.
Same thing with her in Transformers. I said she's a wonderful actress. She's really, really smart. And she got written off for so long because of how she was written in those movies. And I said, and she literally was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to make a bag off of it. That's what she did.
Oh, yeah. And also, men hate when someone is the titular hot character, but then they're like, oh, my God, but she's so hot. You have to have a happy medium with these guys because it's so hard
There's no winning.
There's no winning for the woman. But God forbid, we talk about Robert Pattinson, like, he's God and he's a fantastic actor. Don't get me wrong. But there's a big difference in conversation with Kristen and Robert.
Exactly. From Twilight. Mm-hmm. They were like, well, you know, that's just like the role he took at the time. And with her, they were like, she can't act.
Oh, yeah. Which, speaking of, you said Transformers. This is a screenwriting story. So Shia LaBeouf submits to all these screenwriting awards.
Yeah.
And he places every time over people that aren't in the industry yet.
What?
So that's a screenwriting joke. It's an inside screenwriting joke where people will submit for these competitions, but they might not place because Shia LaBeouf is placing. And some of his work is probably really great, but he places every single time.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah, inside screenwriters, guys.
You heard it here first, guys. That's honestly, I find that really unsettling, especially for women. Especially if you want to, like, let's say you wanted to do a Transformers role.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say you were like, okay, yeah, sure. Like, I'll play a hot girl.
Or speaking of the new Transformers with Mark Wahlberg, Nicola Peltz was just his hot daughter. Yeah.
Don't even get me started. I saw that one. I said, what?
Yeah,
like, it's just like she was, it's almost like she's just there to be hot as opposed to like adding.
Let me tell you.
She's so hot, but I'm just saying adding anything to her character arc or like, you know, like her intelligence or how she moves the story forward. It's just like, it's a lot of this.
Oh yeah. Very Vogue.
Slow-mo.
Yeah. Or a lot of actresses get in like, they get scrutinized for voguing their performances where it's a lot of just like a lot of people said Gal Gadot vogued for a lot of Wonder Woman where it was just like she would be worried about how she looked while she was like posing or holding the sword.
Yeah.
It's just that's
or that, that's how she was written.
Yeah, that's how she was written. She's meant to look super hot and super cool but be empowering, but then when she's doing it, it's wrong.
Well, you know what's crazy is that's all Jason Momoa did in Aquaman.
Oh, and he looks so good.
That's all he did is a lot of hair. What do you remember what his first line was in that movie?
Actually,
I do.
What is it?
It was permission to come aboard. Okay, listen to me. I love him. Mm-hmm. I think he's awesome. Was that writing A1? No. But is he just so good looking? And everyone was like, yes. When they saw it, they were like, yes, right? But then you give that same energy to a hot girl and they're like, ugh.
This and the way they would make them say it too.
Yeah, they're like, permission. I could do that. That like they just give women jobs. It's the same shit. Mm-hmm. It's the same exact thing. He's topless. He's good looking. He flips the hair, says permission to come aboard.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, let's give the same energy to both of them.
And he sold tickets, you guys.
That's tickets. What I'm saying.
Word of mouth.
And honestly, they're both just there to make a check.
Oh, yeah.
That's why it's like, and you would do it for a check too. That's what the whole thing.
I was going to be employee of the month. And that's
like,
that's period.
No,
that's it.
That's why I'm like, what that lady was saying in her video, as far as like how you write women.
Or I think body image is taken into account first and then the woman comes second.
Yeah.
So how they look, how they're going to be portrayed, and then the writing comes in.
And then they're like, and then maybe brain later.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get into that later.
That'll be on set. Like, that'll be written in while she's acting already. Yeah, yeah. I'll think of how she's acting.
She's like, well, I was thinking maybe she could have thoughts. And they're like, we'll talk about it. we'll have a meeting with the screenwriters. You won't be there, but talk about it. And I think it's the same thing, too. I'm not as plugged into the Marvel scene on TikTok. I try to be. Let me in, please. I'm
Join.
A Disney
we
adult.
Want you
let
there.
Me, let me in, please. Yes. I want to be a part of it. I want to be on Marvel Talk so bad.
Oh, my God. You have to start.
I'd be banging on that door. I'm like, please let me in. I know I'm not as well-versed, but I want to be there so badly. I saw all the discourse about Wanda in the new Doctor Strange movie.
Multiverse of Madness. Tickets are out today.
And her arc as far as, like, how she's come through the Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm. But, like, that line in the trailer that all the dudes were...
You do it and I become the enemy.
The dudes were losing their minds. Yeah. And they were like, she enslaved a whole town. And I was like, okay, all the heroes have done something terrible.
Yeah, no one's a good person in those movies. Everyone has done something really terrible. I just think the way she did it, they just take it into account so heavily. And
I know.
I feel so bad for her because she's just sad. She wants her kids. Like, I don't know what you guys want her to do. She wanted her children.
And I always think, too, at the end of the day, she's not real.
At the end of the day, Wanda apologists. Okay. Like, we need to unite. Yeah.
We should rise up.
We need to rise up. Rally the troops.
You know, that's rally what I'm the saying. Troops for her. Rise up. That's why I was like, I saw a lot of people talking. I saw Jay Soobs talk about it a lot. Some Straw Hat talking about it a lot. But I literally saw them talking about how, like, all that's kind of the whole point of the Marvel Universe. All of them have bad in them.
Yeah.
It's like what they choose
or
to do.
Or just their standards are very, again, the comic book actual story to now the MCU story that Kevin Feige has so brilliantly brought forward. I definitely think people just want this to be like such a set in stone thing. She's allowed to make mistakes, you guys. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, but it's also because she's a girl. She's a woman. And she's also arguably one of the most powerful heroes in the universe.
Oh,
so they're
if
in
not
the
Marvel.
Most. Yeah, so they're like so upset about that. Yep. Now that Iron Man's out the game. They're like, boo, boo, women,
I think it's also
boo.
Interesting how she was written, again, thinking of body image, where she was given the corset to push up the boobs, the short skirt, emo Wanda, if you know.
Yeah, literally my sister told me that, which I didn't know. And I know that Elizabeth Olsen,
she said she felt uncomfortable in the costume, and now she's covered. She has a costume that's still a corset, it still suits her body, but now it's more comfortable for the actress.
And it's more accurate
to the
comics.
Yeah, costuming from a male standpoint, where male directors have a vision, or, you know, the person who's arranging all of that, speaking of Harley Quinn, Margot Robbie in her first Suicide Squad costume, it was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
She felt really uncomfortable, and it seemed, you can't tell on screen because she's doing her job, she's doing it super well, but yeah, it's really hard.
We talked about that in my episode with Brittany, like male, female gaze. So like we were talking about how like the male gaze of Harley Quinn is the first Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
The female gaze is the second.
Oh,
one.
When she's in the red dress.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She's dressed much more, not appropriately, but to suit the actress more.
Yeah, and her character. That's why, like, the first one was all, that was
oh,
all for
have
dudes.
You seen Birds of Prey?
Yes, I
yeah,
have.
Love
and
Birds
that, yeah,
Prey.
And Birds of Prey too. Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I loved the costuming. I thought it was so quirky. Harley, she did such a good job. I don't think we'll ever see another Birds of Prey.
I know.
I'm sad, but I would like to
I
see
liked that movie.
It was the
was
soundtrack
a
was great.
I thought
they
so.
Looked wonderful.
I thought it was good. It was entertaining. I watched that on Delta Planes. Like, and
shout
this
out
one
Delta's
yeah.
plane selection.
Delta's movie selection, it's A1, honestly. Mm-hmm. So some of the comments on this video, like this first one says, girls love humor when they say, I think it's funny that they're happy and content. I mean, I think
it's funny that they're speaking about this. Shut up.
Yeah, about what women find
of
funny.
What women find funny.
I think
funny.
It's funny that you think you know what women find funny when you've never spoken to a woman in real life. So
oh, yeah.
It's pretty odd.
Can I say the B word?
Yeah.
Oh, get some bitches. Like, that's all I can say. Like, that's one of the best things you could respond to. Like, get some bitches before
no,
you say
anything.
No,
seriously. That's what one of my guests called it, pussyless behavior.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Starved for it, bro.
No, yeah, it's crazy.
Starved.
And when you reply back to comments like that and you use that language, they're like, oh, my God. Like, why would you say that? You could say it, but I can't. Are you kidding me?
They're like, because it's screaming at me.
Oh, no.
You're just complete lack of getting
laid. I feel like Cassie Howard just like, I could say it to her, but she can't say it to me. Like, really?
Speaking of someone that dudes jerk it to, and they're like, she's so deep. It's Cassie from Euphoria. Okay, this next comment says, as a male-to-male writing coach, for those who write female-led movie scripts, you have to just write about the stuff on the cover of US Weekly.
Oh, no.
What are you, 100? Who reads US Weekly still?
You read that when you're in the grocery store, if it's available to you.
You're literally looking at it while you're about to grab a pack of gum.
Oh,
and you're like,
yeah. Or that's where you see the worst headlines for women, like pregnancy headlines, divorce.
Yeah.
This woman treated this person really badly. Who cares?
The National Enquirer type
thing. Oh, yeah.
Who reads? reads US Weekly? What are you, a 90-year-old mom?
Yeah, or everything's online now. So I would assume you guys see these headlines online because I don't. Sorry, I don't read them.
Okay, this one says, I regularly think I could write a novel but couldn't write a male character because they apparently have no thoughts.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, I think that was, yeah. Us sitting here, that was really good.
Who said women aren't funny? That comment made me laugh.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I think that, you know, sometimes it's just, it always leads back to like male, female gaze, like mm-hmm. how men see women and perceive mm-hmm. women is how they write women.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, if they understand women and how nuanced they are, then they'll be able to write them.
I think now there's going to be a really big shift of female directing versus male directing, which have you seen Book of Boba Fett?
No.
Okay, well, Bryce Dallas Howard directed an incredible episode of Book of Boba Fett.
I didn't know that.
It was so fantastic, but now female directors are needed more than ever, and they seem to understand the source material better than males sometimes. It's just their delicateness. They're able to really work around the issues going on. And even for Amazon Prime, I think, has 37% of the most female directors hired.
Ooh,
so it, like, love that. Bringing the statistics in here, I did my research.
She said, anyways, she has a whiteboard and starts doing the math for us.
Oh, yeah. It's just interesting to see female directors now enter the space on such a male-dominated field. And also, we just had a female director win an Oscar, Jane Campion, for Power of the Dog, which is wonderful. But yeah, they're more needed than ever.
Well, wasn't Turning Red directed by women too?
I believe so.
Yeah, she. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. So that's why... great movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Me and Spencer talked about that on our episode too. We love Turning Red. Good. And it's such a big fan.
It's so cool to see a person of color direct a movie for children of color who will have something to look forward to and share an experience with.
Oh,
like especially the talk about puberty and periods. Oh, I related to that so heavily.
I was just going to say, I said the men lost it. They were like, this is why you can't have women in the workplace because you're going to talk about things that all women go through. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Also, I think, like, you have a daughter. You don't think she's going to have that?
Oh, yeah. Or I think they just aren't, they don't see themselves as handling that issue. Like, even the birds and the bees talk with men and girls, it's very different. The women are expected to handle that, so.
Yeah.
And especially the talk with puberty, talk about periods, it's very, especially if you're a person of color, I think, in the culture, it's not very, for the dads to take that, No,
absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what's like, you'll have that talk, but you won't have talk about puberty or periods. That's
wild. I remember when I got my first one, and my mom did not know what to do with me. She was like, go in the bathroom. It was one of those things where, it wasn't brought up in her household when it happened to her. So when it came to me, I'm her only daughter. I know for a fact she was freaking out. She's like, go in the bathroom. Just go there. And that was it. And yeah. Or I was never taught how to use a tampon. Mm. If that's too TMI, but I really never was. The first time I ever wore one was to a water park.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, there you go.
Yeah, like it's not brought up. So to see kids now, girls are going to have a movie about that is great. I love that.
Well, I told someone, who was I telling? I think it was my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I was telling him, well, you know, like when you go in the water, like it stops. Like you're on a trip. And he goes, what?
Yeah.
He goes, it just stops? I go, I mean, I don't know the exact science, but yeah, like that's why girls can swim on their period and stuff. I mean, you still wear something.
But, oh, yeah, yeah.
But he was so like,
it's like magic to them. Like, yeah, the wheels
turning. It's truly like, I'm going to need a few days to process that information. He was just so like blown away by it. But that's why you don't have to worry about stuff like that when you have movies that have proper representation.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's why there's no better person to direct a movie about going through puberty in a period for a girl, a young woman, than a woman.
And a woman of color.
And a woman of color. That, on top of that, especially dealing with, like you said, the family dynamics of it all.
It's very interesting. I loved it. Turning Red, you have my vote next year if you're nominated, which you will be. I'm campaigning. I am solo, but I'm campaigning.
Okay, so now we're going to play a little game. And it's called the Bechdel Test.
Yes.
So for those of you who don't know, the Bechdel Test is basically something we apply to any and all forms of media, specifically movies. And these are essentially the rules of the Bechdel test, right? That at least two women are featured, that these women talk to each other, and that they have to discuss something other than a man.
A man.
So Emily and I are going to say a movie title. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say one to you, obviously. Okay. And then you can tell me if you think it passes the Bechdel test. All right. Here's the first one. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Yeah.
I would say.
I would say that passes the Bechdel. Honestly, I only ever see Hermione with the two male leads, so I won't lie. I might see her with Ginny is her name.
Yeah.
I'm not a Harry Potter. I'm not a Potterhead. You know what? Franchises are so interesting to me because I've never been a Potterhead, but I was such a big, like, everything else young adult, oh, sign me up. I was at that theater yesterday.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was not a young adult lover of Harry Potter.
I find that shocking. Wait, how old are you?
I'm 22.
Okay, that's why. Because you're all baby.
My mom loved it. My mom loved Twilight. She was such a big Harry Potter fan, and it never passed to me. But once Marvel came, oh.
I was in there. First one. Yeah. And the answer is actually, yes, it does pass the test. It says the major scene that makes it pass the test when Molly Weasley yells at Bellatrix Lestrange to stay away from Ginny. I don't know if you saw the last one. You've seen them all, right? The Harry Potter movies?
Maybe. I honestly don't remember. I'm going to be so honest with you. And people are going to... I remember I said that on a live once and someone was like, you've never seen Harry Potter? How old are you? I'm 22 and I proudly will say. But I love Potter World at Universal.
But at least you're honest.
Yeah,
Sometimes people be lying.
Well, I can't lie about that.
Yeah, I've seen them all. I mean, my boyfriend has never really seen the movies. Mm. And he's seen a couple of them. And I tell him all the time. Actually, when I was on vacation recently, we were watching the fourth one together, which arguably is the best one. And honestly,
is that Goblet of Fire?
Yes.
Everyone loves that one.
Best. It's the best one. And honestly, I'll die on that hill.
Oh, yeah.
But we were watching it together for the first time. And I like to make jokes during movies. Mm-hmm. Some may say it's irritating. I find it hilarious.
It's entertainment. You're adding to the dialogue.
And I never talk when they're talking. Mm-hmm. My mom can't stand it. She's like, you guys talk too much because my sister and I both do it.
Oh, yeah.
We just be making jokes. Like, literally the part, I don't know, you've seen the fourth one, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay, actually. So you know how he goes to the graveyard, and like every time he's near Voldemort, like his scar be hurting.
Oh, yes.
It like itches. He's like that. I told Billy, like my boyfriend, I was telling him, I also see his pussy's tingling. And like, that's funny.
Oh, yeah.
But he's like, stop saying that when you're trying to watch the movie. I'm like, I'm just saying, like, that's how it be tingling when he's around.
Uh-huh.
So I find that entertaining.
It's funny.
Call me crazy.
Laugh, funny. Do you know?
I'm all, that's my job is humor. I'm just kidding. Okay, so the first one, pass. And obviously I honestly love the Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. That one's so awesome.
Big fan. I would like to be. I just can't get into it. I want to. I've tried.
You said you've tried. At least you've tried.
Yeah.
Some people don't even try and they're like, I don't want to because they just don't want to like things that other people like.
Yeah.
Which makes you a big weirdo.
I promise it's not me trying to be different. I just can't get into it. I can't.
Yeah.
I'm not that person.
It's honestly really deep too. Like the storylines run so deep. It's sad and dramatic. It's very like.
My mom dragged me to see that's so mean. My mom dragged me to see the last one in theaters and I remember. I kept falling in and out of sleep. Again, I'm not a Potterhead. I try to be. And she was sitting there sobbing in a room full of other people. And I was just like, oh, girl, get over it. And then years later, Iron Man dies and I'm like, oh, my God.
You're like, and your mom's like, get over it.
No, yeah. She
said, I've been waiting for this
moment. She felt
moment.
Her ear be hot. She's like, that's what you get.
Okay, this next one for the Bechdel test is Ratatouille.
Colette. I love her. I wish I could have a French. The only thing is like just La Vie en Rouge.
Yeah, literally.
Does she speak to other women? I've seen this movie a million times. I'm gonna say it passes the Bechdel test. I think it does.
It's actually wrong.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it says the only female character is Celine Leclerc, who is seen in one scene in Colette, female chef. They never interact. Oh, yeah, that's right. So it's the critic. Well, obviously, you missed one lady, and it's the old lady in the very beginning.
Oh, damn.
That'd be shooting the rats.
Oh, yeah.
And I only know that because...
Oh, those poor rats.
And I only know that because that movie is tattooed on the inside of my brain.
It's running inside always. Like, is that what lives in your head?
No, truly. It's that movie alone.
Oh, my God.
It's that movie, and what's another movie? The Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Yeah.
I have so many jokes from that movie that I just make, and people don't get. And I'm like, you don't get it.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Damn. Mine is the Minions. They're running around in here. Jen, I'm such a big Despicable Me fan. Every time I go to Universal, like every time I drive into LA and I see the Minion guarding the city, I'm like, oh my God, like you're here.
Like it's the first time.
Oh, every time I take a photo of it, I'm like, yes. But I love
the
Minions.
You just have a camera roll of only just
I actually
Minions.
Do. There's a video of him. He caught on fire in the parking lot once.
Oh,
have
I remember
you seen that?
That.
Oh,
yeah.
That was his. And they played music. It was so funny. But yeah, every time I go, I love the Minions.
I remember the first time I saw Despicable Me, the very first one, mm-hmm. we took my little brother to go see it in theaters. I was laughing my ass
it's
off.
It's funny.
I said, this movie is so funny.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I'm a big fan. Honestly, mm-hmm. I love movies like that. I think they're so funny.
They're so good.
Okay, last one is The Avengers 2013.
Oh, Jesus Christ. If I get this wrong, this is actually really sad.
Like, it's bad for your brand, so don't get it wrong.
Yeah, I know. I might have to rebrand is the thing.
As a Harry Potter girl, then. You're like, I'm starting anew.
Who does she speak to? Peggy Carter's dead.
Yeah.
It's Black Widow. Who mm-hmm. else is a... Maria Hill. Oh, shit. I want to say no because they are... But is it male love interest? Or is it like...
It's just they have to talk about something other than men.
Oh, then no.
Yeah.
That movie definitely does. No. Absolutely not.
You're right. It does like, not pass.
I'm going to say that Black Widow and that tight little black suit, they were not speaking about anything other than the men she had to baby.
No, literally. It says the film includes Natasha, Pepper, Agent Pepper. Maria Hill, but these three women never hold a conversation with each other during the film.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty wild. If I really think about that, that happens very few times.
The only time we saw Natasha and Pepper interact was Iron Man 2 and forward. And then we had, she was in an Iron Man 1. And then, like, the Endgame movie, then she was Rescue.
And even in Iron Man 2, is that the one where he meets her for the first
time? Yeah, and she, like, boxes Jon Favreau.
Yeah. So in that one, they only talk about Tony.
Yeah.
So even then, it doesn't. Mm-hmm.
Natasha and Tony. They're one of my fave pairings, like, platonically. Don't start shipping. But yeah, I love them. Crazy. And Maria Hill too, she's Nick Fury's assistant.
What would you call her? I don't know.
I'm not gonna say soldier? Sidekick.
Number one soldier.
Soldier. Like there she's there for him. Or even if you've seen Spider-Man Far From Home, like she's his right hand, but then it turns out they're Skrulls if you've never seen it.
So that's a spoiler for you. For everyone there.
I love to spoil things. That's one thing I love to do. Not for other people, but I went into Endgame reading the spoiler article for it. I knew what happened. I didn't want to be surprised. Yeah, I think it's a lot of people are like, that takes away from the emotion. I don't care. I'm going to cry all the same.
I'm one of those people that, like, if I'm watching a movie and I don't know where it's going, I'll look it up. I'll Wikipedia search the plot. I'll read the whole thing and I'll be like, okay, I'll finish this. Oh, yeah.
And speaking of, like, now spoilers, gossip in Hollywood, that is a male dominated field, gossip in Hollywood. Yeah, I swear to you. Things get around the men more than they do the women.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely sure. And honestly, they be lying.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like women are just notoriously honest about shit.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in Hollywood. You have to be.
Yeah. Well, you have to prove yourself somehow.
Yeah.
Honesty is the way to go, apparently.
No, seriously. Okay. So for this next video that we're going to show, this one, I'm just going to give you a little breakdown of it. So basically, this user asks, why is it that men in Hollywood can be in as many movies as they want and be as oversaturated in the media as they want? Mm-hmm. Nothing happens to their career. But when women are in too many movies for a year, their careers can be ruined, right?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so they use examples like Jennifer Lawrence.
Ooh, she faced a ton. Anne Hathaway,
and
that's a good one,
right? Yeah. Oh yeah, Anne Hathaway is on here as well. Literally,
I remember that.
Whoopi Goldberg. Mm-hmm. Who else? Taylor Swift.
Oh yeah, I have women now that I'm thinking of that I think are getting that same treatment, which is Florence Pugh and Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah,
I think they're being put in so many projects that people are now like, "Are you kidding me?" Yeah. And they're so talented. They're beautiful.
I love Florence Pugh.
Yelena now. Anya Taylor might be in a Marvel project soon. She actually was in Inhumans, which is really cool for X-Men.
Yeah.
But I think the market is becoming, like, people are going to feel sick of them as they did Jennifer Lawrence. They have their true fans, but just so did Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, like have you seen, I think her name's Kiara Brow.
Mm.
I think that's how you pronounce her name on TikTok. But she talks about, she created this theory called the Jennifer Lawrence pipeline. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And her theory about how, like, they get obsessed with these women. They start making tons of movies. Like, they're in everything, everywhere. Everyone's so obsessed with them. And then it gets to a point where people start getting sick of them. So they start chewing them up and spitting them back out.
Oh, yeah. That happens so often.
And then they're just like, this girl's trying too hard. She's everywhere. She's trying too hard to be relatable. Like, I'm sure Jennifer Lawrence... I mean, I'm sure she's a cool girl. Like, I'm sure she's super nice.
Oh,
and
cool
awesome.
Girl syndrome in Hollywood, too, is a thing.
Yeah.
Cool girl. Dakota Johnson goes through that.
And that's literally where they moved her.
Yeah.
Same thing with Dakota Johnson. Yeah. Same thing. Like, they moved her into the, like, now you're trying too hard to be cool.
Oh,
like, almost like making her a pick me.
Yeah, whereas, and when she's not, it's just what you guys are, you're boxing her in.
Whereas before, everyone was jerking it to her. And then all of a sudden, they're like, I can't stand this bitch anymore.
No, it's the people that... gave you the platform and really, like, encouraged and supported you that are the ones that are going to be the reason for a downfall.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think even on TikTok, we see that with women in the entertainment industry. Oh, yeah. It's such a difficult thing to maneuver. Someone DM'd me and told me, "You're going through the Jennifer Lawrence effect." And I was like, I don't know what that means. And I don't think I want
what
any.
What a rude thing to
no,
send
I was
you.
Just like, well, thanks. Like, I don't know what to do
You're
with
like,
that.
You're like, oh my God, thank you.
No, I'm like, so you think?
You think I'm going to be a star?
No, yeah. It like happens to female creators and, like, a ton of women in the industry that oversaturate.
Well, and I think probably a key difference to that with between, like, creators and like stars is that they're inaccessible to you. So you never get to see them them because they're so,
we don't know anything about them.
Yeah, so they're so closed off to the like society so that they start to formulate their own opinions about them. They're like, well, I bet you she's like this. Whereas, like, you know, influencers, they you see their everyday lives, you interact with them, you feel like this very close parasocial relationship to them. So you have people that will be like, oh no, she's not like that. Like, she's not like that in real life. Like, you have people fight for you kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas with celebrities, it's just like mob mentality. Oh, they're like, you're right, I hate her too. You know what? I'm so glad you brought it up. But they do that to influencers too. But I feel like it's easier to turn on a celebrity because they don't give you access.
Yeah, there's no accessibility. You don't know who they really are.
Well, and I think that all the time. I'm like, you see them. We talked about, I talked about with Britney too. Like, we talked about Timothée Chalamet, right? And I think to myself, he could be annoying. What if he's the worst person in the world?
We don't know that. We have no clue.
Like women are like, oh my God, like he's a man written by a woman. Is he?
Is he? Are most men? No.
Is he? I said all of them.
I will say, when I interviewed him, what a sweetheart. I have to say
that. There you go.
What a sweetheart. Proof. He was so nice. He was so sweet. But obviously that wasn't the real him. It's like the front that he puts on. Like, I'm so excited to be here. But his personality shines through.
There you go.
Like, when women let their personality shine through, there's such a different reception almost.
I agree. Yeah. And then there's room for error in that sense. Yeah. Whereas, like, when they're very closed off, very, like, private, which they have every right to be. Sometimes I think people are just easy to turn.
The art of privacy for men versus the art of privacy for women in Hollywood. And I think there's Alexa Demi does it beautifully, where she does not let you into anything. We don't know anything about this woman. We don't even know her age. She's just there to be an actress and a star.
I know. I've seen so many theories where they're like, oh, she's like 23. And some people are like, no, she's 35.
Yeah.
Whose guess?
I'm like, her age is none of our business.
No, it truly isn't. Yeah. I think that all the time too. I'm like, we only see what they give us access to see. It's the same thing with influencers. Like, even if you feel like you're seeing their everyday life, you're really not.
You're not.
At the end of the day, you really don't know them. So don't put them on a pedestal, one. And also two, don't be a weirdo.
Oh yeah. Or one of my favorite things, this is like a side thing, but one of my favorite things influencers do is they'll say, like, my normal routine is like this, but I'm actually going to do something different today, when we just want the normal routine. So that's so interesting. And I do that a lot.
Yeah. Like, sometimes people ask me all the time, like, oh, I wish you would daily vlog. Girl, you don't want to see my, it's boring.
Oh yeah.
I just, they just see this
and they see all the stuff we do.
Yeah. Well, you say that now, and then you watch me like eating cereal at 12 p.m. because that's what time I woke up.
Oh yeah,
with no pants on. You're like, this content's ass. Like, they're literally not gonna like it. It's boring. I feel like my life is so boring outside of work.
I feel you.
Which I'm very grateful for.
Oh yeah,
I think we all need that.
Yeah, I think a sense of quote unquote normalcy.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, okay, so the comments on this video, like, the first one says, the first one says, the answer is misogyny. There you go.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, there you
heard it here first.
Honestly, the last movie I saw that was really funny, I saw The Lost City.
I love that movie.
I loved wonderful. It. It was wonderful. Exactly what I expected. Yeah. Some people are like, oh, like, I don't like this. Sandra Bullock.
Oh, queen.
She looks so incredible in that movie.
Oh.
And she's so funny.
This is so interesting that you bring her up in that movie. Because she, I think, is one of the only female dependable stars in Hollywood left for a box office. Yeah. Box office is so important. And some, like, I've heard people call actors and actresses box office poison, where they're not bringing in revenue. They're not bringing in the money that they thought they would.
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock is, if not one of the only dependable movie stars left.
Yeah,
today.
Like, she always hits.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what movie she's in.
Like, the difference between the women and the men in that argument is the men aren't really ridiculed that much, whereas a woman, she didn't bring that much money. And so, yeah, it's so interesting.
Yeah, that's so true. And that's why, like, Brad Pitt in that movie, so funny.
He's hilarious.
Unbelievably funny.
Oh my God. He's a really talented actor and just like very wonderful to, like, you can tell he loves what he's doing.
Yeah.
I
love seeing like serious actors, like ones that Oscar award winning, Emmy nominated, like
any Meryl Streep and Don't Look Up.
Yeah.
She's hysterical.
Just like in the most slapstick comedy movies. Yep. Like Brad Pitt, like, it's like seeing a dog walk on its hind legs to me.
Oh,
I'm like, it's so funny that you're in this like so dumb movie, like dumb in the sense that it's just funny for being funny. It's not like, it's not winning any awards. But I think it should have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Academy.
And you know what? The VMAs and the MTV Movie Awards are going to eat it up.
That's really where
I get my true entertainment, because that's where my movies
are recognized. That's where my movies are recognized.
Oh, yeah. Or like those awards versus like the real awards. I think like Megan Fox said it best. We talked about her earlier, but she said, I don't care to win a BAFTA. I just want to be a pop. Like, there's pop actors and there's more serious actors, and bridging those two when the actors can do that is great.
Yeah. And she's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think about actors like Channing Tatum, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Is what it is.
Have you seen Free Guy?
No. Okay, listen. Oh, listen, don't hate me. I tried to watch it.
Did you get to where he's in it?
I watched 30 minutes and I didn't laugh once, and I said, you know what? We'll try again another day.
I promise
My sister literally told me, she's like, you're an idiot. Like, watch the whole thing. It's so funny. I was like, I didn't laugh once, and I gave it a shot. I literally was sitting there like,
you gave it 30 minutes. There was another hour and a half to go. There was another, you could have given it 30 more and Channing would have showed up and you would have been like, yes, he's so funny in it, genuinely.
I honestly think that Channing Tatum's in the same lane as like Dwayne The Rock Johnson to me, who I absolutely adore. Love him to death. He's the best. But it's like they know exactly what lane they're in. Mm-hmm. They're like, I'm just a funny guy.
Or in a way, they play themselves in every role.
Exactly.
And we love to see it.
Exactly.
But is there women that can do that? Is there women we know that do that for Hollywood?
No.
I think like
they have to transform every time.
Yeah. Wasn't the women that I would say is like Melissa McCarthy. I think she is she's so good at improv. She is so good at comedy. She can transform anything. But like how we're talking about Dwayne and Ryan being themselves, not even being a character.
Yeah.
Like Robert Downey Jr. does the same thing for Iron Man. He's literally Tony Stark.
Yeah.
We don't see talk of women doing that.
No, it's true. Melissa McCarthy, love her.
I do really love her.
Dude, Tammy. When I watched Tammy, Tammy got a lot of shit. I was dying when I watched Tammy.
Oh, yeah.
My mom and I watched it together. I was laughing like I was like she was in right in front of me doing a stand-up routine. Oh, my bad.
She was hysterical.
No, she was so funny. Like that, literally, I'm sorry, we're talking about like movies and whatever, but there's the part in the movie where she's like talking about how wonderful the deer is. Have you seen Tammy? Tammy. Mm-hmm. You know where she's in her grandma, they wake up in the woods. And she's like, oh my god, like it's so beautiful, her grandma. Oh my god, so beautiful, so beautiful. And then Tammy's like, yeah. She scares me. She's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Get out of here.
No.
That made me laugh so hard I almost threw up.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, dude. Academy Award. That's why I said, don't put me in the Academy because I'm submitting Tammy for the awards.
No. Oh my gosh.
I'm like, put this in there.
There's so many movies throughout the year, and especially I think like recognizing women in comedy in an Academy sense is so difficult for the Academy to do.
Yeah.
But recognizing like men in superhero movies is a more easier thing. Not to discredit them because that's an incredibly hard thing to get into. Like I remember Mad Max Fury Road was nominated and Charlize Theron, I thought, deserved a nomination. Oh, yeah. There's so many women who can do that for the Academy, and it's just not allowed.
It's just like horror.
Yeah.
Horror is never recognized in the Academy like it should be. Just like, I saw Hereditary.
Ooh, and Toni Collette deserves.
Yeah, she give her flowers for that movie. Yeah. Honestly, Hereditary is one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. Like truly, like I was up for hours after. I had to watch, you know, you need to watch something nice to like clear your brain.
Oh yeah, I put like a good cartoon on. I'm like, me too.
I put on like Moana or something to like hard reset my brain because I'm like, I don't want to think about that when I go to sleep.
Oh yeah,
I was up for days. I literally could not sleep. That movie was so like horrifying, in a generally like wonderful movie way. Like what a masterpiece. And Toni Collette was so good in that movie.
Toni Collette, I loved her in Knives Out. She's a fantastic
actress. I loved Knives Out too.
That's a wonderful movie. Did you think he was the villain?
I really didn't. I love when I can't tell. Sometimes I figure it out and I'm all damn. But that one really had me going. I had no idea.
Like when he like started saying all that stuff to Ana de Armas, I was like, whoa. Yeah. Like you really meant what you said and you did it, didn't you?
And she was so good in that movie too. See? Give them their flowers, and some of extra notes on here are like things like The Rock, right? Like we said, Ryan Reynolds was the one I was thinking of.
Yeah,
the one that's like in everything. He's in every movie. Have you seen
The Adam Project?
I saw. Okay, this is so dumb, but sometimes I'll tell people, yeah, I saw it because I watched Trixie and Katya watch it. So I'm like, oh yeah, for sure, I know all about it.
Oh, yeah.
I literally haven't seen it.
The review, then you're like, boom, I saw it.
I mean, I got all the high points.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. I saw J Soups talk about how much she didn't like that though.
The Adam Project?
Yeah.
I think males loved it. I saw so many male reviews loved
it. They ate it up.
Yeah, and then I saw like female reviews and it wasn't the same. Yeah. Female reviewers versus male again, there's so many things that go into it.
Like the perspective is so much different.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, see, they brought up Bradley Cooper, The Rock. Like they never have to like go away, like take time off. Like Jennifer Lawrence, like she was, like you said, in every single movie, killing it, and then she had to like take a step back for a while.
I think her, Anne Hathaway is another example. I think also after these women all won their Academy Awards, I want to specifically talk about Lupita Nyong'o, who doesn't really get work right now, which is insane to me. She might be very picky with her projects, but you just won an Academy Award.
Yeah, you're a
sought after actress. I mean, she's in Black Panther, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But I want more work for the women that clearly can do it.
Yeah.
Same with Octavia Spencer. I want more work.
We're recognized for it.
Yeah.
But like men, they win one, they're like, get that guy an Oscar. Get him in a box office smash. Get him in the next Netflix hit special.
Oh, yeah. Or any male actor that does anything. Marvel movie right now.
Yeah.
Oh, bring it to a Marvel movie right now.
I know, like Harry Styles being in a Marvel movie. That's wild.
Now, I have a lot of opinions about that, and they're all positive before anyone gets on me. It's just interesting to see. I want to see the tapes. I really want to see an audition tape.
I said the same thing when I saw him come in Eternals. I literally was like, I'm so interested to see what that audition process looked like. Because again, it could also be a clout thing, but no one's ever going to say that about men.
I don't think so. Yeah.
But like, if you did say it about women, I'm just saying it doesn't hurt.
Oh yeah.
It, when it you're, when you're the topic of conversation, when you're very, very popular.
Oh yeah.
And also, this is also another fun fact, which I'm sure you're well aware of because you're an influencer too.
Bring it in.
When you have like an almost entirely female demographic, people are more likely to work with you because women buy things.
Yes, absolutely.
Women show up.
Women are the lead consumers.
Yeah, so, women move units. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're a make or break. So that's what I'm saying. His audience is 99% female. So I'm sure it didn't hurt that he's very popular.
That end credit scene, I remember I was in the theater and everyone I was with in the premiere was like, "Oh my god!" Like,
no, seriously, amazing. Same. And I'm not knocking him. Listen, I'm a big
he's
hairy,
fantastic.
I'm a hairy girl. Okay?
Did you like As It Was? Have you heard the new song?
I loved it. It was so good. He can do no wrong in my eyes. So don't come for me, hairy hairy girls. What are they called?
Harrys.
Harrys. Yeah,
hairy girls.
My hairy girls. That's what I'm going to call
them. Hair balls.
Yeah. No, seriously. I'm like, don't come for me. I think he's going to do wonderful. I'm sure he's a very talented.
Well, he signed apparently a 5-movie deal. Contracts in the Marvel universe now, they stopped doing like these big 10-year contracts from my knowledge. Someone might correct me, but yeah, he signed a long thing, but so did Salma Hayek for Eternals. Yeah. And that was talked about for one day.
No, seriously. And her character was murdered in the movie too. Spoiler.
Also campaigning for her to come back.
You know what's so annoying? I've been campaigning for Black Widow to come back. I don't know if it's true. I don't know anything about the comics. I just be saying stuff.
She will have a hand in production. So I'm excited to see what they do.
I'm like, I don't know. They open the multiverse. Maybe there's another one.
Oh, she could totally show up.
That's what I'm saying.
The Multiverse of Madness. The cameos in that are crazy.
That's what I said. Who knows? I just be saying that. My brother is such a big Marvel nerd. He always gets so like, that's not, she's never coming back. I'm just saying.
That's a lie. I want to look over, but that is a lie.
I'm just saying, we don't know the future.
Oh yeah,
and I don't know anything.
Pandora's box is open.
Yeah, well, you know, don't take my word for it. I don't know anything. Mm-hmm. But basically, just to wrap up, what's your overall thoughts on like women in Hollywood, their treatment, all that kind of stuff? Like, what do you think? Like, where do you see it going? I feel like it's moving in a much more positive direction.
I talked about the rise of female directors for streaming services. I think we're going to see that rise for filmmaking in general. It is moving in a more positive direction. I think it's moving in a more positive direction for a certain group. There's a lot of work to be done for people of color. There's a lot of work to be done for Black people. And that's the thing that like bothers me the most, is there's still stereotypes. There's still all of this. And while we're moving forward, are we really?
Yeah.
Like for me, being Latina, being Mexican American, I want to see Mexican stories. I want to see a rom-com with a Mexican actress who's not going through a traumatic situation.
Yeah.
Who's not going back to Mexico with an ugly filter over it. I want to see that. Is that a bad
no,
thing?
Seriously.
No,
seriously.
I want it to move
like
forward.
Like living, enjoying life.
Yeah, living, enjoying life, being in the moment. There's so many rom-coms that could deal and work with people of color, but it's just getting them in those rooms.
Same, honestly. Mm-hmm. Well, I talk about this all the time, but I'm someone.
Mm-hmm.
So like my representation starts and stops with The Rock. So I'm like, brother, I see you, bro. We out here together, bro. Malo, malo, li soy fua. That's what I always think. We out here together, bro. Mm-hmm. It's just you and me. That's why I've been telling him to hit
me
up.
And I think also for people in the space, like, bring more people in. You have the power to push new talent forward.
Yeah,
start
absolutely.
Doing it more and more.
Yeah, and
call out. Like,
yeah, genuinely. Like, that's why I think it's probably the same thing for you, too. Mm-hmm. Like, being a person of color where, like, people are like, I never got to see people looked like me.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically in the influencer space, too, because I never see any famous someone girls. I mean, unless you count Dinah Jane, but she's not someone. She's Tongan. She's Fifth Harmony.
Oh yeah, I remember her. I do. I loved Fifth Harmony. I was a fan, so I know her.
So are we. That's why I was like, like with the representation part, I think that's so important, especially in mainstream stuff. Like
mainstream,
seeing you on the Oscars red carpet. That's incredible.
Thank you.
That's why it's so important. Thank Every you. Time I talk about representation, it makes me like emosh.
Yeah,
because
me too.
Because I always think like kids like us like never had shit like that.
Oh yeah, no.
Like when I first saw Black Panther, I was like moved to tears.
Yeah.
Because I was like, can you imagine all the kids seeing this Shang-Chi?
Yep, Shang-Chi. Or I think now also not bringing it from the smaller screen to the bigger screen. Oscar Isaac being a literal Latino actor, being Moon Knight is huge. That's a huge representation. Salma Hayek being Ajak, that's huge. Mexican Arab. Like, it's important to let these little kids know that there's someone that looks like them on there. Or I don't know if you saw the video of her talking about putting the suit on for the first time. And Brian Tyree Henry also talked about it, where he just was brought to tears.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It's so important because as a child, you don't see that.
Yeah,
so,
especially for women.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said for women even more so.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I said. And also, The Rock, if you want to hit me up, buddy, Let me know.
Drew's available, actually. Listen, like, I'm Drew's here. Ready to
I clear my schedule for you, buddy. I'll bring your big bald head. I'll sit you right
comment.
Here.
Yeah, he needs to come to the comment section. I'm sure he has a lot to say.
As I say, I make fun of baldies, but I would never make fun of you. I say this all the time. I said bald men, literally, it's like not all bald men are misogynists. But all misogynists are bald or balding.
Yeah, absolutely. See what I'm saying? You're very right. That's you can see the creasing in the hairline right here.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And my dad's bald. So wow. Listen, I'll bring you here. I'll bring my dad here. You guys can sit next to each other. And it'll be a vibe.
Yeah, talk.
And then I'll bring Emily and Emily can come too.
I'm going to be like, hey, guy, The Rock.
I mean, it ties in. He's going to be Black Adam, right?
Yeah, he's going to be in the DC. That universe, my goodness.
I know. I wish he was coming to Marvel. But they were like,
oh, all of them actually will. I absolutely know.
You think?
Jason Momoa signed something and quickly.
Yeah. Same,
you can do it.
Same with him, too. I think I think it's incredible. That's something I talked about way before I became an influencer. Mm-hmm. We're so off track. But anyways, with Jason Momoa specifically. Yeah. When he signed on to be Aquaman, I thought that shit was cool. Yeah. I was like, that's so awesome.
That's huge.
But then I thought it was missed opportunity because I felt like you could have made his family in the ocean all Pacific Islander.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that have been so cool? Yeah. Then you could have made his mom white.
Wasn't his mom
dad
Nicole
white.
Kidman?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. I do. I remember these
walls. They look the same age and he's like, Mom. Oh my God, Mom. Is that you?
No, yeah. I think.
And I love Nicole Kidman. Don't get me wrong. She's beautiful. Incredible. Woman. Wonderful. She's
talented.
Ageless.
Oh, I interviewed her as well.
Yeah.
Oh, what porcelain skin. Like, talk about just flawless.
She's frozen in time.
Actually, like Age of Adeline's type of stuff. She yes, literally is frozen in time.
Benjamin Button type date. Like, truly. Well, anyways, Emily, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank
I had
you
a blast.
For having
I learned
me.
A lot.
Yeah.
I
learned a lot from you, too.
I love talking to you about movies, girl.
Thank you.
You really be out here.
I love it. This is my favorite thing, and it's one of the main reasons I want to do what I want to do. Like,
so
I owe
awesome.
It all to the women who've done it before me.
Love that. Mm-hmm. Same here, honestly. And I'm so happy to have you. Thank you so much for
thank
joining
you.
Us today. Where can everybody find you?
You can all find me. Okay, so this is where it gets tricky. TikTok is Emily Uribe with two U's. Instagram is Emily Uribe with two E's at the end. And then Twitter is Emily Uribe, like B-A-E. Yeah, it's different for everything.
That's all right. We'll list them out for everyone.
Thank you. Yes,
so
do.
Everyone can see properly.
Thank you.
And thank you for all of you joining me today on the comment section show. Thank you so much again to Emily.
Thank
I love you.
You.
I adore you. So happy to have you. So happy you came.
Thank
and I
you.
Hope you all enjoyed it as well. If you want to catch episodes of the comment section show, be sure to tune in Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the Past Your Bedtime YouTube channel. And you can also stream all the episodes on all streaming services available. Thank you so much for joining me today. Bye.
Bye.